chapter 5. Let's read Galatians chapter 5. I've got two messages to preach in 21 minutes. Let's hurry. Preach, he says. Stand up and let's read. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Isn't this book good?
Amen.
Okay, let's get some help. I'm going to sound like a broken record in a couple of areas, but the Lord's trying to get through to somebody here, and it's probably me, so just let me preach to myself for a few minutes here, and we'll be done. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What's next?
Long-suffering.
Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's pray. Father, please bless this time like only you can. I know that myself and there's others here that need this message. They need to hear these things. We need to hear these things. And God, I pray you'd help us, be patient with us, just help us to get some things right this morning along the lines of long-suffering. God, please bless the other preachers that are preaching right now. Help Brother Fred Wall as he's in Haiti. Help him, Lord, strengthen him, encourage him. Help us to be a blessing to him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Now, long-suffering. It's a combination of two words, obviously, long and suffer or long-suffering. And suffer in the Bible does not always mean pain or persecution. The Lord Jesus Christ says, suffer the little children to come unto me. So that's not, there's no pain involved with that. It carries with it the meaning to allow or to permit something to take place. Would everybody agree with that? See that? Suffer the little children to come unto me. So I want you right now, if you can, to give me a synonym for long-suffering. What would be the same as long-suffering? Anybody? That's the one I'm looking for. There's more. Anybody else got one that you're thinking of? Endurance. That's, I think that's actually in my notes. Anybody else? What is it?
Tolerate.
Yeah. Amen. Somebody else? Yes, patience. That's the one I'm looking for, though. That's it there. That's it. Doesn't it go right hand in hand with patience?
Amen.
Now, is there anybody in here that would be fool enough to stand up and say, now, preacher, we don't need a message on patience or long-suffering? You'd show your hand, wouldn't you? I would. I don't, look, as long as people are up here preaching about the blood of Christ and the fact that my sins are gone and I don't have to go to hell, right? And as long as they're up here preaching on eternal security and the infallibility of the Word of God and how it's wrong to fornicate and wrong to commit adultery and all this other stuff, I'm okay. I can enjoy that kind of preaching, right? Because I'm okay, all right, in those areas. I can say amen, clear conscience. But when the first preacher gets up here and says, okay, I want to preach to you for a few minutes about patience, oh, I just sink in the pew and think, oh, no, he's been talking to God about me. That's what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Anybody in here experienced road rage in the past week? And are willing to admit it? Don't you hate it when they pull out in front of you, going real slow? I got somewhere to be! Get out of the way! That's not driven by the Holy Spirit. Amen? When you're thinking about, when they pull out and you're thinking, you know, Earnhardt used to do it, you know, Rubin's racing. We can get away with it and get them in the ditch and get on, you know, and nobody will ever know. Nobody will get hurt. It's okay. When you're thinking that, that's not driven by God. There's another spirit driving that thought in your mind, okay? It's impatience. Strong's Concordance or Dictionary says this, quote, patience. It says it about long-suffering. Patience, slow to anger, forbearance, fortitude, long-spirited, long-tempered. That's the opposite of short-tempered. Well, he's got a short fuse. That's just how he is. No. He's not full of the Holy Ghost. That's his problem. He's selfish. He's impatient. He's not long-suffering. He thinks about himself much of the time. Therefore, when things don't go his way, I got your number. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching to me. I know who I am. That's my problem. Amen? Don't you want things your way when you want them? Burger King, I love it. Have it your way. Short-fused people hurt or they cause pain like a short-fused firecracker have caused a lot of kids that play the game, I can hold it longer than you can. You ever had one blow up in your hand? That hurts. And, you know, I don't care. I don't necessarily care about winning a game like that. Amen. That's a game for fools, right? You know, kids play that game, and then adults play the game of life like that. I can hold out longer than you can. I'm going to live like I want to live, and then I'm going to get right towards the end of life, and then I'll go ahead and get religious. But right now, I'm holding the firecracker. You're going to get yourself in trouble is what you're going to do. Because it's going to blow up in your hand. And when life blows up in your hand, it's a whole lot worse than a firecracker blowing up in your hand. Amen? The Holy Spirit is not in snapping or what we call going off or anytime, especially with our kids. You show me kids that are raised around that, and I'll show you some kids that have got some problems later on down the road. Amen. Kids say first they want us to walk, then they want us to talk, and then they want us to sit down and shut up. That's not a good environment. Say amen. That's not good. Now, this is a very obvious question. Who has the most long-suffering that you know of? Yeah, God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hadn't he been real long-suffering with you? You know, if you don't think he's put up with a lot from you, then you got some problems. You don't need to wait until I get to the end of this. You just need to come down here right now and just start praying. If you want somebody to pray with you, there'll be somebody to pray with you. If you're sitting in that pew right now and you think, well, the Lord hadn't had to put up with too much from me, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You're in trouble. You're almost too far to be able to learn anything this morning. He's put up with a whole lot from all of us. Very long suffering. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at it. Run a couple of references here. Very, very, very important thing here. And the very first thing mentioned in this list of characteristics about charity. Verse 3 says, 13:3. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Verse 4. Charity, what? First characteristic. Suffereth long. That's another way to say long suffering. It's the same thing. It's just turned around. Okay? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. The first attribute in the characteristics of charity is the fact that it suffers long. Some of you are squirming in your seat right now already thinking, oh no, I treated my spouse wrong last week. Uh-oh, I treated my kids wrong last week. Uh-oh, I got agitated with the grandkids when it really wasn't a big deal. It just put me out. Uh-oh, I got put out with a coworker. Uh-oh, I got put out with the boss. Uh-oh, I got put out with the cashier who is first day or second day on the job. Oh, boy. I got to confess. Now, I wasn't hateful with her, but I wanted to be last night at Zaxby's. Cashier, you go down there at Zaxby's and buy a meal, and then within the next 2 weeks, you get the same thing for free. We went down there, met the Norrises down there. Mom and Dad was down there. And I was going to trade with Mom because she wanted what I had last time, and I told her I wanted a salad. She had a salad last time. They didn't have that kind of salad. Or lettuce, or whatever it is to make that. I don't know what they had. I didn't understand what she was saying. But I'm over talking to somebody else trying to get a drink, and Mom keeps asking me, they don't have this, do you want this? Well, what if I say no? They don't have it. Come on, amen? So, I wanted to get mean. Is anybody with me? I looked right at my mom and said, why does she keep asking me that? What if I say no? They don't have it anyway. I don't care. Just give me some food. Now, is that the way to be? Moral of the message this morning, don't be like your preacher. Well, that's great for the kids, isn't it? I didn't make a scene. I wasn't hateful. I certainly wasn't hateful with her. But you ever just get hateful and not say it, but they could see it all over your face? Yeah. Well, I didn't say it. Yeah, but you tasted the words. And they saw it, right? You might as well, I mean, if you do this right here, they can tell what's going on. Amen? Big babies. Amen. We want immediate results in America. Say amen to that. And when we don't get it, we're hateful. We're not long-suffering. This thing also carries with it the meaning. I said forbearance. Forbearance. You know what that really means? Forbearance? To refrain from the enforcement of what is due. Did you hear me? To refrain from the enforcement of what is due. How many times has God done that with you and me? To refrain from the... Come on, amen? We should be in big trouble and God's withheld and withheld. This nation should be in big trouble. And God is withheld and withheld. You say, why? God's long-suffering. He carries with it forbearance. Psalm 103. You know, everybody always quotes Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It's in the Bible. It's true. It's a real passage, and it's a good passage. And it'll keep you from a lot of sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Right? Sow to the flesh, reap corruption. Sow to the spirit, reap to the spirit. That's good, isn't it? Everybody listen to this. You've got to get this. That's a general rule. If you sow it, you reap it, right? It's just a general rule. But you know as well as I do, that doesn't come to pass 100% every time. It's just a general rule. Have you reaped everything you've sown in the former life, some of you, before you got saved? God's been awful good to you. Now, you've reaped some of it. See, it's a general rule. But you've not reaped all. If we reaped all of what we sown, we'd be dead and in hell with a broken back right now. And we're not. We're okay. Are you saved?
Amen.
All your sins gone?
Amen.
That's great, isn't it?
Amen.
Psalm 103, verse 8. 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? Verse 14, for He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Hadn't God been long-suffering with you? We don't deserve to be sitting in here in a nice church with friends and family and enjoying the Word of God and enjoying the singing. We don't deserve all that. But here we are. Free country. Preach the Word of God. Right? We all in a nice suit of clothes, nice clothes, air conditioned, heated building, nice pews. Ain't this great? We deserve it. Think we've labored, Brother David. We deserve this, you know. We actually deserve a little better, you know. We ought to have a bigger building, pay for. We don't deserve anything. And here we are. Now, here's what long-suffering does not mean. It doesn't mean, obviously, because God is long-suffering. Would you agree with me there? Okay, God is long-suffering. Therefore, it does not mean indifference or passiveness. God will deal with sin. God just doesn't turn His back and say, well, I don't care. That's not the thing. That's not the thing. It's what I call patience with a purpose. It's not just, well, you know, let them do whatever, I don't care. Long-suffering is, I'm going to withhold what I want to say in the flesh so it'll be for your good in the future. See? Isn't that how God is with us? Hadn't He been patient with us? But He has a purpose, right? It's not apathy. It's not to each his own, live and let live. You know, it's not that. It's not that. It's, I'm going to be long-suffering, I'm going to be patient, but I got a purpose here. I'm trying to accomplish something by being long-suffering. You know why you're long-suffering with the fellow that drives bad, with the cashier, with all the people that I just explained earlier? You're long-suffering because you don't want to hurt your witness. Right? I mean, what would you think of me if I went up there and said, just give me something to eat, I don't care, you're out of it anyway. I mean, if I say no, what are you going to give me? And then I say, would you like this gospel tract? I've seen people do that. How many in this room seen somebody do that? Get all hateful with somebody in a business transaction or eating or wherever, and then, here, take this. You know how much weight that tract carries with it? I'm glad you gave it out. Keep giving it out, but... You've really hurt your credibility there. Amen? Now, number two, like I said, it's being patient with a purpose. And there's a conscious design to exhibit mercy and grace with others because God's been merciful to you. There's a conscious design to exhibit mercy and grace with others because God's been merciful to you. Now, do we really treat everybody else like God treats us? No. I'll answer it for you. No, you don't. I don't want you to have any imaginations about the fact that you treat everybody as good as God treats you. I don't think it's possible. But I don't think you're doing what's possible either. Say amen. I don't think I'm doing what's possible. Do we have room for improvement on this message? Is there room for improvement? Should I have to beg you to come to the altar this morning? Why are you not already here? That's what I want to know. You know, who cares that you're preaching? We got enough. We need to get an altar and get right with God. Amen. Now, it's a beautiful description of God. Come to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19. And then we'll come to Isaiah 48. I want you to look at a couple of things here. Tie up a couple of things for you. Let's see here. Proverbs chapter 19, and we're going to read right around verse 11. Proverbs 19 and verse 11 says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." Wow, I'm glad that applies to God. Has somebody ever transgressed against you? You know what it's in us to do? Get right back at them. Amen. Amen. You know why Cain knocked Abel's brains out? Same thing that's in you right now is in Cain. Same thing. Same heart, same flesh. You're dealing with the same people. Your problem is when I say that, you think, well, I'm not near as bad as Cain. You are! You're just as bad. I'm just as bad. We just have trouble admitting that for some reason. Why is that? Why do we have trouble admitting that we're as bad as Saul in days gone by? Come on, right? Whatever is in David that caused him to do the wicked things he did when he did wicked things, that same spirit's in us. Right? Does the book still say man at his best state is altogether vanity? That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The book still says that. I can't change it. Right? At your very best, young lady, your vanity. At your very best, sir, your vanity. That's what it says. Right? Am I in the wrong church? Am I delirious? Did I show up in the wrong place again? Well, thank God. God passes over, right? He passes over. He passed over my transgression for about 25 or 26 years. Ain't that great? Isaiah 48. Come to Isaiah 48, and we'll start in verse 9. Isn't this book great? Doesn't it just slap you in the face sometimes? Doesn't it just put its arms around you sometimes? Come on, amen? All that the world has to offer wouldn't stack up to what this thing has to offer. It's great, isn't it? Isaiah 48, and verse 9. Verse 9. "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." God's glory is to defer anger and to look over a transgression. That's what the verse says. If you hook up the verses, His glory is the fact that He can be long-suffering with us. That's what He says. And defer and get rid of that transgression, or just overlook that for a while. Now look, I know He's not going to overlook that in a lost man's life. A lost man's in trouble. He's going to hell. He sends himself to hell. But you have to admit, you that were saved at 25 years old and older, God was awfully long-suffering with you. He looked over a lot. He looked over a lot. In fact, I know of a lot of people that before they're saved, they see somebody that somebody else does and they say, that guy deserves to die. And then they did the same thing. They did the same thing. But then they don't think, you know, well, you don't deserve to die then. So it's different if somebody else does it. Hadn't God been long-suffering with you? Hey, parents and grandparents, hadn't God been long-suffering with you? First kid popped out, you just knew how to raise them and everything was just fine. And you know all the decisions you're going to make when Mason's 16 and everything's just great, right? They're going to make some mistakes. I got my fourth one on the way, and God bless its heart, I'm going to make some mistakes with it. Right? Ain't that good that God just says, well, you made that mistake with that kid, and you're my kid, so here's what you get. That's the way a lot of Baptists view God. That's the way a lot of independent Baptists view God. They think He's up there with a big sledgehammer just waiting for you to make a mistake, and then as soon as you make a mistake, bam, right on the head. Is that God? Is that really the God of the Bible? I don't think so either. I don't think so. Now, try to be merciful with others. I think if you try to be merciful to others, you put God's love to the test. Amen? You know one thing I figured out about God? Like Brother Tim said today with the $150 thing. You know what God won't do? He won't be outdone. He will not be outdone. Okay? So that's just how it is. So you set in your heart and you say, I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be long-suffering towards these people, towards this person, that person. And God will say, well, if you're doing it, you're taking my advice, I'm going to have to take my advice too. And He'll be long-suffering towards you. Hey, how many in here right now is saved people want the long-suffering hand of God on your life? You want God to be patient with you? Be patient with other people. See? You put His love to the test when you do that. Does everybody see that? Now, there's just so many places I could go here. Can I have a few minutes? Can I request a few? Just a few. You're scared to give me a few. You're afraid I'll, you know, like the devil, give him an inch and he'll be a ruler. No, I'm not going to do that. I'll hurry. James 2, quickly. Come to James chapter 2. And we'll catch Matthew 23 on the way back by. James chapter number 2 and verse 13 says this. James 2:13 says this. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. First part of the verse. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. You show no mercy, you get judgment without mercy. But the last part of the verse says, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You know what God would rather have in your life? He'd rather have mercy. He don't want judgment. Come on, right? Matthew chapter 23. And yeah, I thought this was real good here. I never noticed this being in this verse. Matthew 23:23. Everybody remembers the verse. We use it for a different reason every time, though. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Everybody remember this? You got this context down pat? For you pay tithe of mint, anise, cumin, and have omitted the weightier. The Lord Jesus admits that there's weightier matters of the law. Well, what are they? Judgment, what's next? Wow. That's according to the Lord Jesus Christ, mercy is a weightier matter of the law. Now, would you think that by reading Moses' law that mercy was a big part of that? Boy, I read the law, I think, well, I'm glad I don't live back there. They got it in the neck, man. But he said that a weightier matter of that was mercy. We can see that with all the mistakes of the children of Israel during the king stage and during the judges stage. God was still merciful with them. God let them stay in the land for years and years and years and years after they went after Baal and after they went off of the gods of the Moabites and the Ammonites. And he still gave them a prophet, still allowed them to have the word of God, still gave them somebody to preach the truth, still allowed them to go into the synagogue. They still had food. I mean, it was a long time before they ever had a famine or a drought. Can you see that in America? We probably deserved judgment 100 years ago in this nation, right? At least. But here we are. I know recession. I know people out of work and stuff. But hey, still best nation in the face of the globe. Right? God's been long-suffering toward us, I tell you. Now, we should have mercy towards all these people that I mentioned cashier, spouse, kids. You certainly ought to have mercy towards your kids when you drag them around all week to places they don't need to be and they're wore out. Amen. American parents are bad about that. You know that, right? They drag kids all around the place, and then when they get tired and irritable, then the parents bite their heads off. Hello? That's good preaching, preacher. We love you. Tell us the truth. Rah, rah, rah. I'm always looking for that. It never happens. I don't know what's going on there. It's calculated patience with a purpose to allow some room for growth. That's what it is. That's what long-suffering is. It's calculated patience with a purpose because you're wanting that person to grow. Everybody look up in here. I want you to get this if you don't get anything else. Some of you, well, my standards are high, I guess. All of you are not growing like I want you to grow. Amen. You know, I'm always expecting a Wesleyan type revival every Sunday, you know. You laugh, but I am. I'm expecting something big every Sunday. Really. I'm expecting to come in here and preach and five get saved and two sell out to go to the mission field and just all kinds of great stuff happens. So, while we sing, people shouting and rejoicing and running around the building, you know, and while the preaching's going on, amen, preacher, that's great. Glory to God. That never happens, but I'm expecting that. It's going to happen one of these days. I know what you're thinking. Preach a good message and we'll do that. That's what I'd be thinking. So what am I supposed to do, John? What am I supposed to do, Daniel? Am I supposed to just get up here and be impatient with you? Right? Point you out. You better get right with God, Wayne! Would that help him if I did that? Yell and scream at him. You ain't doing this right. You ain't doing that right. Is that long-suffering? If I just singled everybody out in here and said, you're not growing quick enough. You need to start doing this. And that's not long-suffering, is it? It's long-suffering is patience, but with a purpose that leads for some room there for growth. I expect to have super Christians 5 minutes after you're saved. I'm serious. 5 minutes after you're saved, I'm expecting you to want to be over here 7 days a week, want to knock on doors, want to pass out tracts, want to be involved in ministries of the church. I'm like Brother Barton. Brother Barton said, when I first got saved, I didn't understand why they wasn't there 7 days a week. Sunday and Wednesday was real good. How come we wasn't going on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Amen? But that's just not the mindset of everybody else. You got to leave some room for growth, right? You're not going to be Bible scholars overnight. Amen? Some of you need to get busy on that. You won't be a Bible scholar in a lifetime either if you don't get busy. Say amen. You better hurry. This book's important, right? We have instant everything. Say amen to that. I hate instant coffee. How about you? Nasty. Instant food. Instant photos. Microwaves. Next day air. Pay at the pump, which is convenient for a wife, a lady with kids. That's great. Don't have to go in the store, drag all them snotty-nosed kids in the store. Amen. That's tough. Pay at the pump. That's good. Some of this stuff's good. Internet banking. People, you know, you don't even have to write out who your check's to. They stamp it for you. Zero-turn mowers. Gas weed eaters. This life is moving at such a fast pace, you can buy jeans that look like you wore them for 10 years. On a 9-year-old. We're moving fast, aren't we? We want instant everything, don't we? You don't get instant Christians. You get instant saved people. Buster Seaton asked a colored woman one time. He was preaching a meeting way down in Mississippi, and he ran into a colored woman downtown, little town. He said, are you a Christian? And she said, preacher, I saved, but I'm not a Christian. And he was baffled at that. He hadn't been preaching long. He said, what do you mean? You're saved, but you're not a Christian. She said, near as I understand it, the pastor down there told me that a Christian, that's to be Christ-like. She said, I'm trying. I'm saved, but I'm trying to be a Christian. He said, I intended to witness to her, and she witnessed to me a little bit. You ain't going to get that overnight. It's going to take some time. You're going to have to pray with me that I'm patient with you till you get there. You're going to have to be patient with me till I get there. I hadn't arrived as a pastor yet. Has anybody figured that out? I don't want a show of hands of the people in here seeing me make a mistake. All you had to do go Zaxby's last night. You can see that. I make mistakes. Amen? Long-suffering. Long-suffering. No such thing as instant character, overnight to Bible scholars, next day patience, 1 hour maturity. You just don't get those things. Would you agree with me that Jesus Christ is the great physician? Okay. Jesus Christ is the great physician, and I wrote these things down that I thought you would experience with Him on a doctor's visit. You ever go to the doctor for a checkup? Okay. If you went to the Dr. Jesus, like David Ring says, went and got checked up, here's what you'd probably get. I think. He's got a waiting room. Say amen. Now, if you're in trouble and need help or need answer to prayer, He's answered some prayers for me instantly. And He's got me out of trouble instantly. But there's been a lot of times where I felt like I needed something or I needed an answer. I've been praying about something. Let me tell you something. The Lord's got a waiting room. Amen. He don't work on your watch. He works on His watch. Amen. And it's up to us at that point to be long-suffering. Patient. Allow. See, it's suffer. It's not just something bad happening. It's to allow something to take the time that God wants it to take. Not only does He have a waiting room, I think if you went to Him, you'd go through a thorough examination. That's why some of you won't come to the Lord, and that's why some of you won't come to Him for some help. You're afraid you're going to get a thorough examination. There's a secret place in here that you say, well, now that's my chamber and that's my business. Now, Lord, I want You to fix everything else, but let's not go in there. I'm afraid He doesn't work like that. Say amen. All or none, if you go to Him, you're going to get a thorough, thorough examination. I'd say He'd probably ask you to do some preventative maintenance. Wouldn't you think so? I'd say He'd ask you to come back for some regular checkups. Wouldn't you think so? I'd say probably, this is going to hurt some of you here. I'd say He'd probably ask you to go through a regime of daily exercise. Wouldn't you think so? You know, I listen every now and then to Rush and some of those guys, Rush Limbaugh, you know. And Rush has held to this fact for years that cardiovascular or aerobic work doesn't help you. He's wrong. He's a nut. You know why he says that? Because he doesn't want to get out and run or get on a treadmill or jump rope. You say, why? It makes you sweat. He's got his garage air conditioned. He air conditions his cars. You say, why? So he doesn't have to sweat. It's going to kill him. It's going to kill him. Say amen. Daily exercise. But that has nothing to do with the, you know, bodily exercise profiteth little. That has nothing to do with what the Lord will ask you to do. The Lord will ask you to do some things daily, see. Not just physical exercise. Amen. I'd say He'd ask you to avoid some unhealthy habits. Say amen to that. A good doctor will ask you to avoid unhealthy habits. There are some unhealthy habits that you probably are practicing in here as Christians, as saved people. I'd say the Lord would say, if you come to Him, He'll say, now you need to stop that. That's no good. Mm-mm. Boy, that'd preach for a while, wouldn't it? You know why the Lord's not come back yet? He's long-suffering. You know, if He comes back right now, there are going to be a lot of people left here in a shambles, in a mess, in a bad way. In a bad way. You say, why is He not back yet? He's long-suffering. You know what I pray? I pray about this nation. You know, I don't pray for reform in the government and all that other stuff. You know, what's that going to help? I pray that they just get busy fighting each other, Republican, you know, Democrat, Libertines, this party, that party, to where they just get so busy fighting each other they forget about what all's going on, and it gives us years and years and years to try to get the gospel out there and get some people saved and do something for God. Amen? I think that's the best prayer for us, anyway. Jonah was, you remember Jonah? Wasn't he impatient? Ain't that a good kid story? That's a good adult story, isn't it? Do you remember that thing in the last chapter of Jonah after Jonah was sitting under the gourd and all the people got saved? You know, Jonah didn't want to preach to them Ninevites because he hated them. Do you know that? He was afraid. He knew his people were living wrong, the Jews, and he knew God would use those Ninevites to punish his people because they weren't living right. So he said, I ain't going over to preach to them. I know how God is. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's gracious. If I preach to them, they might get right. If they get right, then God will use them to destroy my people and bring them into captivity. He had a genuine love for his people. Now it was misplaced. Come on, amen. So he preached to them and they all got right. The biggest revival in the history of mankind was preached by a man that was aggravated with God and he was hateful. You say, are you trying to justify the way you preach? Absolutely. Biggest revival. Say amen. Amen. That's a bunch of people, man. In sackcloth and ashes. I never seen that around here. That's a good revival. Towards the end of that thing, the Lord come to Jonah. He was all mad because everything had gone just the way he knew it was going to go. And he said, Jonah, do you do well to be angry? You know what Jonah said? Well, now, Lord, I love you and I shouldn't have... No. He said, I do well even to be angry unto death. That's after the revival. Jonah said, I'm so mad I could die. Whoa, that's rough, isn't it? Now, is that the right attitude? James and John, the sons of thunder, did they have the right attitude? Lord, let's just rain down fire from heaven and kill all of them. That's what some of you thought when you first got saved. You Pharisees. Amen. Now that I'm saved, right? And now that I'm in the Bible-believing crowd, let's kill all of them. They ain't never going to get right with you. You know how many times people said that about you before you got right with God? Here you are. Here you are. Thank God. Thank God that God don't let us pass judgment. Or those people that pass judgment on us, thank God God doesn't let them people pass judgment. Thank God they don't have the wand. We'd all be in trouble. God's been real long-suffering with us, hasn't he? 2 Peter chapter 3, while she comes to the piano. I'd like to preach. That's just one message. I got another one, and it's two pages. I'm not going to preach it, though. Say amen to that. I figured I could get an amen there, you know. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. To usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I thank God every day that verse is in the Bible. Because I'd be in a bad way if it wasn't in there. You know the best illustration I can give you of God's long-suffering hand? It's towards me. It says to usward, does it not? It's not. Now everybody get this, please. I know I'm 15 minutes late right now. Look. When you think about God's long-suffering hand, don't think about this lost crowd out here. He is long-suffering towards them. You need to think about yourself. He's been long-suffering toward you. Are you saved? Amen. Are you a child of God? Amen. If you're not, you need to be. Amen. If you're not, you know you can get all your sins gone, past, present, and future. Ain't that a great deal? Amen. Give Jesus Christ all your wickedness and transgression, and then He'll impute and give you all His righteousness and holiness. Ain't that a good deal? Amen. Now, you don't need to be amazed about the long-suffering hand of God toward lost people. You need to be amazed about the long-suffering hand of God towards you. Amen. Are you saved? You are a child of God, right? We cry, Abba, Father, right? Are we children or not? That lost world, are they children of God? They're the children of the devil. They're not made in Adam's image. Adam's image fell. That's gone. That's done. They can be adopted in and grafted in and be a part of the family of God and be children of God, but not right now they're not. They're lost. They're without hope and without God in the world. The book of Galatians says not only do they not know God, but God doesn't know them. That's what it says. Right? Now, I ask you, when you go to punish kids, are you more apt to punish your kids or somebody else's kids? I'm not going to spank yours, but I'll spank mine. But God's so long-suffering toward us that we're His kids, and He still withholds correction sometimes and still is long-suffering and still defers after the transgression. Ain't that great? John Selwyn was known as the Bishop of the South Pacific. He was a professional boxer and got under conviction and got right with God right in the prime of his career. Good boxer. Got saved. God called him to the mission field. And the South Post Methodist magazine reported this story. After spending a lot of years on the mission field, there's certain people in the mission field that just come to church, although they're not saved or Christians, but they just come. They attend the services. And this fellow had attended for a few months, and while John was preaching from the pulpit, he said some things that he didn't know, but were directed at that guy and that guy's lifestyle, and it was a harsh rebuke for that guy. Even though the preacher didn't know it. That guy met the preacher at the back door after the service, and before the preacher could ever get his bearings about him, that guy hit him right in the face. And John Selwyn was a muscular, 6'2", 6'3", big fella. He fought heavyweight, okay? He looked at that guy and crossed his arms, and you know what was running through his mind. He's a red-blooded male. Does any red-blooded male in here know what was running through his mind? And he could have, but he practiced Luke 6:29. You know what Luke 6:29? A lot of Southerners quote it. It's turn the other cheek. And he hit him right here, and then John Selwyn said, "Would you like this one?" Not in a sarcastic way, in a loving way. And that guy, in great conviction, ran off into the woods, and he didn't see him for years. And then years later, came back into the church and said, during the altar call, "I need to get born again. I need to get saved." They led him to the Lord, and it was customary in that day for those heathen, when they got saved, they took on a Christian name. See, they had a native name, but they took on a Christian name. There's a change. We're a new creature, so that's why they took a new name on. They said, "Well, it's a custom that you take on a new name. Would you like to give us a name?" He said, "I want to be called John Selwyn." And they said, "Why do you want to be called John Selwyn?" He said, "Because he displayed to me what Jesus Christ is really like." You know how many times that your sins and my sins have smote the Lord on the face? And in his wrath and his anger, he could have, just like the professional boxer could have mopped the floor with that guy. He could have done that with us. But he said, "Would you like the other cheek?" He's awful good to us. Long-suffering hand of God has been awful good to us. Let's stand while she plays.